Good morning again. If you're a newcomer here, a special welcome to you. Let me introduce myself. My name is Peter Evans. I'm the early church pastor. And we're kicking off a new series this morning called God and Money. Let me start with prayer. Let me pray. Father God, we want to thank you for the way in which your word is indeed a light to our feet, and that your word has so much to say in this area of our finances, our money. And so, Lord, we pray that we might, over the next 3 weeks, through this series, have a very Christ-centered approach to how we deal with our financial resources. Lord, it is our great prayer this morning that we don't want to hear from me, we want to hear from you. So may it be, Lord, that you would use me as your mouthpiece to proclaim what your word is saying to us, that your spirit might apply it to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. After much observation, mainly lined up at buying groceries, I've come to the conclusion that there are two types of shoppers out there. There's those who use card and those who use cash. Which one are you? Do you whip out the credit card, use your FPOS, swipe the PayWave, or are you one of those people who pull out a big wad of cash to pay for your groceries? For me, I do all of my shopping by card. I rarely buy things with cash. Now, it's not that I'm afraid of FPOS or Pay. I'm not afraid of FPOS. I'm not afraid of PayWave. I often buy things online. I'm Gumtree or eBay. My favourite bookshop is, in fact, an online bookshop. I go to bookdepository.com. I transfer my offering every fortnight by electronic funds transfer. But I do like having some cash in my wallet, even if it's just $5. A $20 note is better. A $100 note, well, that's just dreaming. But I like the security of having a little bit of cash on hand. And I guess I want to ask, is that too much to ask? Because it keeps disappearing. I mean, I put cash in my wallet and within 12 hours, I can guarantee it will be gone. And I haven't touched it. Because it seems like the money in my wallet, even though it's my wallet, actually isn't mine. My wife and children seem to be utterly convinced that the money in my wallet is theirs. So whose money is it? Mine or theirs? There is a lot of confusion, I think, amongst Christians when it comes to money. On the one hand, Jesus says in Mark 10:25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Great wealth brings great temptation. It's easy for us to view, therefore, money as evil. Something to be scared of, something to avoid. But on the other hand, God promises us abundance. God promised his people freedom from poverty if they followed his laws in Deuteronomy 15. However, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. And then it says in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God's wish for his people is indeed abundance. So I guess the question is money good or evil? Is it a blessing or is it something to avoid? Is there a link between our spiritual status and our financial status? Well, it's our hope in this short 3-week series on God and money to address some of these questions. Today, before we even think about whether or not money is good or bad for us, let's be clear about this, that all money is in fact God's money. Whether it's in a wallet, a bank account, or an investment property, like all created things, money is from God. Money, in fact, is morally neutral. To do that, let's answer these three questions. I'm going to answer these. What is money? Secondly, is accumulating money a bad thing? And thirdly, how should we use our money? So let's start by defining it. What is money? Because basically, money is a concrete form of power. Money is power in your pocket. It's a stored ability to do something. It gives us the power to walk into a restaurant, have someone cook you a meal, and serve it to you. Money gives us the power to transfer things from someone else's ownership into ours. It's the power to live in a certain place, in a certain house, live at a certain standard of living. It's really bartering, but without the goats. It's a convenient way in our society to transfer goods and services. It's a liquid way of measuring wealth. Now, in generations past, wealth was measured in other ways. It was measured by the amount of gold that you possessed. It was measured by the number of cattle or sheep you owned. In some cultures, it was the number of wives you accumulated. So, is becoming rich, becoming wealthy, accumulating money, is that a bad thing? It would be if we're measuring it by wives. You know what? In Genesis 13, we are told Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. The interesting thing in this passage is that God didn't see Abraham's wealth as a barrier to giving him, in fact, more wealth. The chapter ends with God promising that he'll actually be given the whole land of Canaan. Abraham's going to be given a huge piece of real estate. He's obviously going to become a very wealthy man. God's plan for Abraham, even though he's already wealthy, is to make him more wealthy. You know, we've defined money as simply the power to do things, a measure of your wealth. But we also need to state the obvious, and that's this, that money is actually a part of God's creation. It says in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And then it says in Psalm 50, verses 9 to 12, I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle in 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. See, when it comes to ownership and money, it all belongs to God. It's all part of God's creation. He owns it all. So all money is really God's money. These two passages that we're looking at now point out God's ongoing relationship with his creation, and they show us that everything belongs to God, that all of creation is his to do with as he pleases. That God not only owns everything, but he also provides and sustains his creation. Psalm 140, starting at verse 13, he waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for the people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. You see, God provides for his creation. He provides for the animals. He waters the plants. He controls even our breath. God's got it covered. He covers the detail, both large and small. Where does our money come from? Well, Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And God says in Job 41, verse 11, who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. So essentially, what do we see here? It's that all money is God's money. He distributes it as he pleases. The silver and gold of this world belongs to God. That everything under heaven belongs to God. Every coin, every dollar, ultimately belongs to him. So, does this mean that there's a direct relationship between our bank balance and how much God has blessed us? And the answer to that question is, it certainly can be. Whatever wealth we have is actually bestowed upon us by God. It's part of His creation. Money itself is morally neutral. It's simply a measure of our wealth. And it's clear that one way God can bless us is through being successful in our enterprise, being successful in our work. I guess the question then comes, how should we use God's money? Well, you know what? There's a responsibility that goes along with having money. With money, we have both a duty and a privilege. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 28, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Can you see our duty here? As God's image bearers, we have dominion over the lesser creatures. Human beings are the pinnacle of creation. Our role is to order and run creation on God's behalf, filling it and subduing it. We're to tend and keep the world around us. Our rule is to be one of an image bearer, which reflecting God's own care for the world around us. So our business, our enterprise, all the different ways in which we generate wealth in this world is meant to be a reflection of God. We're meant to reflect God's own goodness and love towards His creation. And we're meant to be fruitful. We don't grow a crop looking for a minimal return. We don't run businesses with great inefficiencies that waste time and resources. No, we work hard with the aim of being fruitful. And next to this duty to be fruitful is a privilege. Psalm 8. "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." We've been made a little lower than the angels. We've been crowned with glory and honor. We rule over the works of God's hands. We are made to be productive. We are made to be gathering wealth as we care for God's world. We have the privilege of enjoying the fruits of our labors. It's natural that we would gather wealth as we do that. Therefore, we should regard things of this world. Therefore, how should we regard the things of this world, including money? How should we respond to having lots of money, perhaps? Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it's consecrated by the word of God in prayer. Give thanks, for God has blessed you. Consecrate it," which means devote it to the Creator God who has blessed you with some of His money. Dedicate it to worship. Use it to serve the God who has blessed you with some of His money. How should we respond to having lots of money? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See, the money that we have are riches in this present world. We don't take our present bank balance, we don't take our shares portfolio into the next world. Now, we've just done a series on heaven, haven't we? And I'm pretty sure there's no stock exchange. We don't take our investment properties into heaven. So put your hope in God and use your wealth in this world. Why and how? To prepare for the next. In fact, look at the next verse here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. See, how you use your wealth demonstrates your relationship with Jesus. How well you recognize the generosity of the cross in your salvation is a reflection of how you are generous with your wealth. The command here, the order, is from verse 17. It is certainly to enjoy it, but we're to use it to prepare for the future, to do good with it. Use it to gather riches in the next world. Use it to seek even greater treasure in heaven. Use it to seek, in fact, the phrase there, be rich in good needs, I think that recognizes that if you are quite well off, you may have more opportunity, more resources to spend time, work days, doing good works for others, building up the church. And boy, that's encouraging. The number of times in this church we have witnessed people giving generously to build God's kingdom, it is so exciting. You know, economically, times have been rather tough here in Dalby over the last few years. But just this year, we raised over 20 grand to send a mission team to China. We raised private funds to send a team to Africa. And we raised over $10,000 for the Darling Downs Church Revitalization Fund. Isn't that encouraging? How should we think if we have money? Receive it with thanksgiving. For it's God's money, and He's blessed you with it, and you have an opportunity to use and gather even better rewards in heaven. But beware. Beware the prosperity gospel that you, if you have no money, if you're poor, you're not blessed by God. Because that may not be the case at all. Money is not the only means by which God blesses you. It's very wrong of us to narrow God's blessing to only money. Possessing lots of money is one way for God to bless us, but it's only one of many. There's also blessing in being poor. Jesus says in Luke 6:20, looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." But I need to stop saying any more on that, or I'll steal Ross's thunder for next week. So how should we think about money? Is having lots of money a sign that we're very blessed by God? Is having little money a sign that we're not blessed by God? The bottom line is, if you do have money, be thankful because it's a gift from God. Proverbs 2:22, rich and poor have this in common, the Lord is maker of them all. You know, a very rich man once stood up in a church service, it was an evening service, I believe, to give his testimony about his faith. He stood up and he said, "I'm a millionaire. And I attribute it all to the rich blessings of God in my life. I remember the turning point in my faith. I just earned my first ever dollar working. And I went to a church service that night. The speaker was a missionary. He told about his work as a missionary. And I knew that I only had $1 and I knew I had to give it all to God's work or nothing at all. So at that moment, I decided to give my whole dollar, everything I had, to God. And I believe that God blessed that decision, and that is why I am a rich man today. He finished. There was an awed silence at his testimony as he moved towards his seat. But as he sat down, a little old lady sitting in the same pew leaned over and said, just loud enough for everyone to hear, she said, I dare you to do it again. It's God's money. Are you treating it all like that? All money, all of your wealth belongs to God. We are but temporary stewards. Money, like all created things, can be a good gift from God if it's received with thanksgiving and if it's used for his purposes. Whether you've been given a little or a lot, it's meant to be enjoyed and it's meant to be consecrated for God's purpose of growing his kingdom. Let me pray. Father God, I think it's actually quite easy for us as Christians to slip into the misbelief that money of itself is evil, which is not true. Money itself is morally neutral. What matters is how we use it. Help us to understand it can indeed be an idol in our life. Help us to understand, though, that all money is part of your creation. Our riches, our wealth, are something that you have actually made. And therefore, how we have been blessed with wealth, with money, with resources, is actually one way in which you can bless us. And so, Lord, help us to understand that if that is the way that we have been blessed, help us to see it like that, that it is your money. Help us to understand that we can now use that to further your kingdom, to use it for good purposes, for ways in which we will gather money, riches, treasure, not on this earth, but the next. Thank you for the way in which you have blessed us in so many ways. In Jesus' name, amen.